All right, let's all stand together. Thank you for that. And turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. By the way, we didn't announce, but we had our church member of the month for this month is, not you, Raul, you'll never be church member of the month, okay? Katie Ramirez. Let's give her a hand. Yeah, I didn't like her very much either. And then staff member of the month is Jessica Myers. Give her a hand. If you give the staff a hand, I don't have to give them a raise. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. I know we're a little bit behind. We have our new members' orientation, so I'll be brief. I'll talk fast. You listen fast, and it will all be good. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. We'll read down to verse. Let's read down to verse 12, and then we'll stop there. When I call to remembrance, verse 5, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for all that we've heard this morning, Lord, the songs and all we've been able to participate in. And I pray you'd bless our brief time. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In our times, we live in times that really can make us fearful. When a person is fearful, they become timid in life. They are afraid to act. They have no boldness at all. Too many people nowadays live in fear. It may not be that paralyzing type fear, but underlying under the surface, there is a fear. Fear manifests itself in many ways. It may manifest itself in stress. Stress is really the fear of not being able to deal with all that is coming my way and all that I have going on in my life. Some people manifest their fear in worry. Worry is nothing more than the fear of what could happen in the future. Some people manifest their fear in silence. They're afraid to stand up, speak up for anything. By the way, our society likes that now. If you disagree with the agenda or whatever is going on, they shut you up. We're afraid to say what we believe. By the way, I'm not afraid to say what I believe. In this church, we're not afraid to say what we believe. Don't let, you know, they call you phobic or whatever they do. But we ought to stand up for what is right. But fear causes us to be silent. And fear causes us to live our life in safety. We are afraid to do anything. Fear is nothing more than attack on our Christianity. Why is that? Because fear is the opposite of faith. And faith is what God has called the Christian, or is how God has called the Christian to live his Christian life in faith. But we live in fear. We are saved by faith, and we are to live our lives by faith. Maybe we live our lives trying to mask our fear. You know, the Americans, we're strong. We live life our way, when in reality, we say that only because we're fearful to live life God's way. So we put up a front. Truth is, the reason is we don't live for God is because we don't believe that living the way God tells us to live will bring us what I really want in life. That is nothing more than a lie. When we don't live for the Lord, we feel that He doesn't know best, that His way is not best for my life. And we suffer for it. We mask it. We try to sometimes pacify ourselves by believing we're okay because we give God half-hearted service. When in reality, the Christian life will never work if we're half-hearted. It takes commitment. If you're trying to just kind of like be half in with Jesus and half out with Jesus because you have fear and you're being timid, it's not going to work. I'll tell you that right now. We've got to give Jesus Christ everything that we have. Many Christians blind themselves to the facts today, to the reality of what God wants. I like the Bible because, well, a lot of reasons, but the Bible is pretty point blank about the people of the Bible. It tells us exactly who they were, how they responded, how they lived, if it's for the good or sometimes negative. But the Bible is pretty point blank. As Paul writes this, he is in prison now, and he's fairly sure that his execution is coming. Most of his associates have forsaken him. Only one really sticks with him, that's Luke. So as God is using Paul to write this, it's a very dark hour in his life, but yet his concern is for Timothy. He realizes as he is passing off the scene, Timothy and others will be the ones to go forth and share the gospel and share the faith and propagate it. And his concern is for Timothy and the ministry that he will have. You almost, when you're reading what he's saying to Timothy, you can almost get the feeling that maybe Timothy had a little bit of a propensity to fear a little or be a little bit timid. And Paul is trying to get rid of that in his life. He didn't want him to be discouraged. He wanted him to be able to get over the pressures, the problems, and really the possibility of persecution that could come his way. He wanted Timothy to live outside of fear, and he wanted Timothy to live in faith. Verse 7 tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear. That kind of gives the idea of living a life where we just kind of back off of things. By the way, Christian life works when you're bold. Not rude. Not mean. But just bold. Not being apologetic for Jesus Christ. Not being apologetic for the Word of God. Not being apologetic for the way we're living because we're being obedient to Christ. And he's trying to keep him from having that kind of fear that would stifle him. And so God wants us to have that spirit also. I want to say this morning. We have no reason to be fearful. We have no reason to be timid. As a younger Christian and making the decision to live for God, what I was doing was I was deciding to step away from how I was before and being willing just to go all out and not worry about what people think. And not trying to make people hate us, but you know what I'm saying. Not worried about the changes that it would cause in my life and what that would do. I was just worried about going forward for God and doing everything that He wanted us to do. Now, we live in different times. Used to be people had a little bit more of a respect for Christianity. I think part of the problem is because Christianity is no longer respectful. And what has happened is as society has pushed on us, instead of standing up and saying no, we've backed off. And let me explain something. We don't win people by backing off. Because once they push you back, you better get used to walking backwards. Because they keep pushing. And I don't think God wants us to do that. Amen. If we disagree with their logic, their agreement, we are phobic or we are intolerant. They don't even know the meaning of the word. They purposely push ours off to the side. By the way, Zuckerberg, is he the guy that started Facebook? Zuckerberg, what Facebook does, I guess I don't have Facebook, and that's good. They have trending topics or trending whatever on the side. They purposely push off, if something's conservative that's trending, they purposely don't put it there. Then I'm not picking on Facebook. That's every part of our media. But you know what? Let us make sure that we're not timid about what we believe. I'm glad that I know Jesus Christ. I don't care who knows it. I'm trying to be mean. I love the Lord. And I don't care what that means to others. So here's a couple of things I want us to understand. How can we live bold, faith-filled lives and not be timid? Well, first of all, I want you to notice we need to fight unfounded fears. Look at verse 7 again. He says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." First of all, if we have that timid spirit in our lives, if we're kind of a closet Christian, that spirit is not from God. That spirit is never from God. Those that love the Lord and walk close to Him, they're not fearful. Now, they may be respectful, and we must be kind and all of those things. I understand that. But we're not timid about what we believe. We're not timid about living the way that God would want us to live. That doesn't come from God. We're trying to fit in now. We've stepped back in our Christianity from just it goes from being timid to now we just outright want to fit in with everybody else. I'm not saying we should be a contrary just to be contrary, but we will never fit in with the unsaved lifestyle. And by the way, we're not helping people if we do. God, that spirit is not from God. Then where does it come from? It comes from one of three sources. It comes from Satan. It comes from the world, which is our society, or it comes from self, our flesh. We must fight that. How do we fight that? Or what are some of these fears? We find out the fears from looking at the antidotes, which he gives us in verse 7. He says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear." Well, what are the antidotes? The first one is, but of power. So if the antidote is power, one of the fears is that we are unable. We feel like it's just hard for us to live for Lord and make a difference in the age in which we live. Can I just tell you something? No, it is not. How can you say that? Because we are not living by our power. We are living by God's power. Now, if I had to do this thing all on my own and you had to do the thing all on your own, you better be afraid because you are unable. But when the Lord's on our side, we are able. Because it's not Him, it's not us, it's Him living through us. We are able to live for the Lord. God's power comes as we make a commitment to obey and do those things that He tells us to do. It's like I've said on many occasions, someone struggles with something in their life and they want help with it. And they'll say, "Lord, help me to overcome this." And they never put 1 ounce of action from themselves to make a difference. God's not going to answer that prayer. God gives us the power as we step out in obedience. That's what He wants from us. God's power comes as we obey. I read a story. One of the early martyrs in the early centuries of the church, he was going to be burned at the stake. And his fear was that when they torched the fire on him, that he wouldn't be able to stand it. And he would act in a way that dishonors God. Can you imagine that? That was his fear, not fear of dying. The fear that he would dishonor God because he couldn't handle the pain. The night before they were going to burn him, he got a hold of a fire somehow, and he decided to test himself. And he put the flame close to his hand, and he realized he couldn't take it. And he was fearful all that night. The testimony that was said of him the next day when he was burned at the stake for his faith was that he sang praises to God and he honored the Lord. How could he do that? Because God gave him a grace. I think if God gave the martyrs the grace to die, he can give us the grace to live. See, you can live for Christ. You can make a difference. And you don't have to do it by tiptoeing. You don't have to do it by being silent. You don't have to do it by purposely backing off of what you believe just for the sake of others that are around you. God's power, you are able. You know what another one of our fears are? He says, but God has given you the power, power and of love. Sometimes we question God's care for us. We feel like we're unloved. In other words, things don't go our way or things get a little tough for us and we question like, hey, God, where are you? I thought this thing was going to be a rose garden. I thought everything was going to be wonderful once I got saved. It is wonderful, but it doesn't mean it's always easy. There might be some difficult times in your life, but don't allow those times to question God's care for you. We're fearful. Well, God, where are you? You know, the things that God has for us, the way he wants us to live, all of that is an extension of his love for us. See, sometimes we can look at things one of two ways, right or wrong, or positive or negative. You know, God does demand a lot of us if we're saved. You read what the Bible says. He says, you cannot be my disciple if you don't do these things. Die to yourself, take up your cross, all those things. See, there's a cost to it. And sometimes we look at the cost and it's like, that's hard, that's unloving. But actually, it's an extension of God's love because God knows if you do those things, it's better for you. God doesn't do that because he doesn't love you. God does those things because he wants what's best for you and he loves you. By the way, life is hard either way. Let me just say that. We said, well, you know, if I back off from the Lord, everything will be smooth as I go forward. It's not going to go smooth. That's just how life is. But you know what's good? When problems do come, you have the Lord with you. I would shudder to be living this life we live without God. I would shudder not to have to go day to day and all the nonsense and all the negativity and not know the Lord. I'm so glad when hard times come, the Lord is with us. He's given us the spirit of love. God does love us. Love is not a lack of commitment. Love is in the commitment itself. See? Well, I love the Lord. Are we committed to him? Well, no, I got a bumper sticker. I got the Jesus fish. By the way, that's okay. That's okay. As long as you're keeping the rules on the road, okay? If you're one of those that struggle, I don't put a bumper sticker on my car. I was driving home. I shouldn't. The ladies in here, I won't give your name. I'm embarrassed. My wife watches her girl in the daycare, and I was coming home, and I didn't think I was going fast. And she pulled up behind me when I got home and said, Pastor, you're going a little bit fast on that street. I'm like, don't tell anybody. She goes, I won't. I said, if you won't, I won't either. And I haven't. So don't put, we like the bumper sticker Christianity, don't we? Got the t-shirt. Jesus is my lifeguard. Well, that's good. If you can't swim, stay out of the pool. You know, he's everything to me. That's great. It's not that. It's in commitment. If I love the Lord, go ahead and have a bumper sticker if you don't speed. Go ahead and wear the t-shirts. But it's more than that. Love is in commitment. God's committed himself to us. Why can we not commit ourselves to him? Love is not the absence of commandments. The scourge of our society for our children is that parents no longer raise their children anymore. Our society is taught if you put rules and regulations, you stifle the children. No, you help them. We have children that feel good about themselves and don't do anything. As long as a child has self-esteem. You know where self-esteem comes from? It doesn't come from getting a participation trophy because your team finished last. Okay? I don't want a participation trophy. Listen, when our girls finished second in volleyball this year, and actually I was pretty proud of them. They're a young team, and the other team was really good. And so keep that trophy, Brother Jim. But listen, if we got second-place trophy, we threw them away. I don't want second place. I want first place. We're not having a party. Okay? Love you to pieces. But listen, you know where self-esteem comes from? Being able to go to bed at night and saying, I did my best. I tried to achieve. Not because someone, and by the way, there is self-esteem in Christ. You're his child, amen? And he loves you. And I'm not against that. But we think that if we put any type of commandment or any type of, look, God, his commandments are, again, extension of his love for us. You are loved. And then he says, lastly, this is for you, Raul, of a sound mind. Thank you, Brother Jerry. I thought I was the only one hammering this. Don't say a word. Of a sound mind, okay? Why would we need an unsound mind? Because our mind, when we're fearful, our minds are uncertain. They're not clear. Sound here means clear and disciplined. It describes a person who is sensible, balanced, and who has life under control through God's power. See, whenever we're fearful, whenever we're timid, our mind's not working correctly. We don't think right. We don't act right. We're unsensible. You ever see someone make a decision? It's like, I just, in the pressure of I had to do that, I'm like, okay, and I walk away like that made no sense whatsoever. Yeah. And that person's not a dumb person. That person's not a bad person. Because if I look back over my life, there's times I've made unsensible decisions. I've let the pressure of what's going on in my life cloud my mind. But God says, when you follow me, I'll help you with that. You can have a sound mind, sensible. It also means unbalanced. You know, we get unbalanced. You ever see somebody and like one part of their life is just way out there? It's like that's overboard. You know, there's a completeness that comes in Christ. There's a balance in our mind that comes from knowing the light, and it keeps us under control. People do crazy things. And it's amazing. You think about, if you're willing to do crazy things like that, why don't you just get on board with Christ and do crazy things for him? And I don't mean crazy things like, you know, t-shirts, turn or burn, and all that nonsense. You know what I'm talking about. Someone says, I want to be a rebel. You want to be a rebel? Live for Christ. Very few people do it. No. I want to be different, just like everybody else. You know, someone gets a fad. I don't know what it is. It's going to be, you know, zebra hair. I don't know what it is. But I'll tell you what. I'm different. I got zebra stripes on my hair. That'll become a fad and everybody will have it. Okay, you want to be different? You know what's different? Living for the Lord. That's something. It's like, and we're not just doing it to be different. I'm just saying if that's your niche in life, let's do it. So he tries to help us to get over our fears. I want you to notice, I'm going to cut out a couple things. I also want you to know this. Look at verse 12. Faith's unwavering confidence. Paul kind of wraps up this little section here in verse 12. By the way, I like the last part of that verse. That's that hymn, the old hymn, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. How many of you know that hymn? It's a good hymn. That's confidence. Paul tells us why he wasn't fearful or timid. Let me give you these briefly and we're done. Because he had a cause. Verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. You see, Paul was in prison. Paul was facing death. And it wasn't that he was a criminal. It wasn't that he, you know, wasn't fast enough to get away there. Paul was in prison for a reason. You know what that reason was? Jesus Christ. That's why he said earlier, don't be ashamed of the testimony of Christ or of me, his prisoner. He said, I'm here for a reason. There's a cause in my life. The reason we shouldn't be timid, the reason we shouldn't fear, because we have a cause. We live for Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, there's all kinds of causes in this world. Some people, I mentioned that, they live to save the whales or now in our society, their whole life is built up around their immoral, reprobate behavior. I'll say that again. You didn't get that. Immoral and reprobate behavior. So confused, we don't even know what bathroom to use. Okay? Listen, if they're having a baby, you have an ultrasound, they tell you what it is. It's a boy or a girl. It's not a, okay? But anyhow, this we're being nice this morning. We have a cause. I like when David and his brother was getting on him for wanting to fight to Goliath. It's like, who do you think you are? You think you're a little big shot, David, blah, blah, blah. He goes, is there not a cause? That guy's running his mouth and someone needs to knock him down and cut his head off. I'll do it. I don't like that. A cause. Listen, let's live for Christ. There's a cause. Listen, why are we going out on Tuesday nights? I'll tell you why we're going out on Tuesday nights. There's a cause. Now, I'm not whining. I'm trying to keep us informed what's going on in the world. I get that. But you know what? The darker it is in the world, the brighter the light shines. Yes, there. By the way, there's people out. We're the, you know, don't let the vocal minority stop us. There's people out there that want Jesus Christ. There's people out there that need Jesus Christ. That's a good cause. By the way, our children, they need the Lord. They need a place where they can grow up, where they can learn the precepts of God's word. That's why we have a Christian school. There's a cause. And Paul said, I am confident of what I'm doing because it's not just some rabbit I pulled out of my house, out of my hat. It's not just something that, you know, I have a hobby horse. He goes, it's Jesus Christ and it's for him. Let's live for a cause. And then he said he was convinced. He said, for I know. Listen, when you know what you're doing is right, you will not be timid or fearful. But we don't know the book, do we? By the way, I haven't forgotten yet. The theme for the year, explore the book. Got to know the Bible. The more I know of what God wants, the more I'm convinced that it's the right thing. He was convinced. And then he was connected. For I know whom I have believed. I already said that. He didn't just believe. The belief all revolved around Jesus Christ. It was all around him, his Savior. By the way, he knew him personally. When you know him personally, you'll live for him practically. That's very simple. The reason we don't live for Jesus is because we don't know him very well. But boy, when we get to know him in the book, it's pretty easy to live for him. And then he was committed and am persuaded that he is able. We don't like commitment. We've been burned with commitment, right? We've been burned. Like, I was committed to that. It didn't work. But you know what? When we're committed to Christ, we'll never be burned. Listen, what am I saying today? I have no idea. No. Listen, let's be rock solid Christians. We have nothing to fear. Paul talks later about how Christ overcame death. Listen, we're on the winning side. But we act like we're on the losing side. Hey, let's just love the Lord. Let's be kind. Let's have gracious Christian spirits. Let's share the love of God. But let's not back off one ounce on what we believe. We have no reason to be timid because of who Jesus Christ is. Let's stand this morning, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed.